following was produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hello, my name is Rick Cheddar, and this is From Radioland.
Greetings, salutations, aloha, hey, how's it going? Welcome to another episode from Radioland from the home office in Memphis, Tennessee. Thank you for dialing us up, tuning us in, downloading, streaming, whatever it is that you do to put this in your ears. It's episode 282. There's a new law that was passed for the state of Tennessee that is now in play involving driving with your phone. You must now lock it up into the trunk. No, I know. You can have it in a car with you, but you can't have it in your hand while you're driving, or they'll ticket you for it. And it's like, I don't know, it's like a first offense is like $50. They don't horse around with this kind of stuff. And it's their right to do it, because too many, I've seen it's all the time, somebody's, you know, texting, watching something, watching a video, all that other fun stuff. And I know that, and the lawmakers themselves know that they get a lot of their content through the phone, which is great. And shows like this are certainly no exception. And people will put their earbuds in it and away you go. Or they can Bluetooth the thing through their speakers in their car and away you go. It's big fun, and it's fairly simple to do. And that's what a lot of folks are doing. That's great. You're allowed to do that. That's the cool thing. You just can't be like, you know, sticking the thing up to your face and be yammering along with it. You can use it. You can answer a call while you're driving, but you have to be able to, you know, do what you do to answer, swipe the little thing, and then you push speaker or Bluetooth or whatnot, and away you go. So there's that. They just don't want you driving around with it in your hand. And, you know, and for the most part, people, this is why we have laws. For the most part, people tend to follow this stuff, and they do it right. Because people in general, I think, are good. It's hard to say that sometimes, especially here of late. It just seems like there's so many assholes. They're everywhere. But I think for the most part, people are good. If you ever fall out in public, you know, faint, whatever the case, there's going to be somebody there to help you. I've always believed that because, like I said, you think people generally are good people. There are bad people out there. There's a lot of them. But I think they're outnumbered by those that do good. And it's not just me being optimistic. I think it's me being realistic. I think that's certainly the case. And when you have that, I think you can kind of rely. You can rely on that. You can relax a little bit. You want to go through life not having any more stress than you already got. It's not that you're just sitting there going, well, if I fall out, I know somebody will be there to pick me up. There's that, but at the same time, we all strive to be happy, and it's tough. Pardon. Life gets in the way of everything that we want to do. You know, you want to do things, but there's the job and everything that goes with that. You may wind up working with a bunch of buttheads. You got your life in general, like the kids. You got to deal with those animals. You got a car, maybe it's breaking down. I'm dealing with that now myself. It's frustrating. Trust me, it is. You know, you got all these little things that go on, and you somehow have to rise above that and try and be happy. It is not easy. I can tell you this as a fact, because I go back and forth with it. I don't talk about it much. Past couple of days have been kind of stressful, because it's just the way it is. And you have to, and one of the things that I do, and you can try this, you have to, really, is you have to just realize that it's going to be okay. Everything is going to be okay. You know, you sit there at your job, let's take that as an example, and ask yourself a pretty important question. Is any of this going to matter a year from now? Going to keep going down in time? Is this going to matter a month from now? A week? It's going to matter tomorrow. It's going to matter in the next 5 minutes. You know, you got to do that. And you got to find that way to be happy. That's the hard thing to do. Trust me, I understand. And that's sort of the point of shows like this. And podcasts give you that. God, I hate that word. I can't believe it just comes out of my mouth so easily now. But shows like this are designed for you to, you know, tune out for a minute. Check out. listen to something else for a moment that that might make you think a little. That's what I try and do, is make you think a little bit. I have a fun topic we're going to get into today that's not about this or being happy. That's just, you know, that's up to you. I can make you laugh, but I don't know if I can make you happy. You know, I live by that. I just do what I can, as everybody else does. So, you know, don't freak out. Relax. Everything is going to be okay. I'm not really much of a nerd. I'm a little bit of a nerd. I'm not a uber nerd. I like nerdy things, some nerdy things. One such nerdy thing I like is The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, that whole series of books that Douglas Adam had put together. I have the book. It's the big book. It's all of the stories in one big hardbound book. And I read it every once in a while because it's just great fun. It's a great adventure, and it's silly. It's funny. It's a lot of funny, a lot of humor, and a lot of dry humor. And there's a thing about, there's a thing that they talk about that the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is, if you haven't read it, it's kind of like it's like a tablet. It's, or like a phone, and you can ask it. It's like Wikipedia. You can ask it questions about anything, and it tells you about what's going on in the universe. And on the back of it, it says, don't panic. It's a good rule. Don't panic, and always carry a towel. We'll just leave it at that, because you just never know when you get kind of sweaty. Like it is, God damn, it's hot today. 104 here on this Sunday. Lord have mercy, it is the 7th day of July. But that's the way it is in these parts. So, anyway, coming up, we're going to talk about music. We're going to talk about, I'm going to paraphrase a conversation I had with some friends the other night about bands. And big bands, cover bands, known bands, rock and roll bands, all of these bands. We're going to talk about that. And then I'm going to tell you what's coming up tonight on Radio Memphis. And for those of you that are gathering the show this this Sunday, the 8th, what is today? What did I say? It's the 7th of July. What's going on tonight? And we're going to have a song. Haven't done that in a while. We're going to play some music coming up too. So stick around. It's coming up next right here from Radioland.
Get on the Memphis Brew Bus. Every Saturday at 2 p.m., we'll take a 3.5-hour adventure through the Memphis craft brewery scene. The Memphis Brew Bus stops at 3 local breweries for some special behind-the-scenes tours, talks with the master brewers, and, of course, tasting of their signature brews. While on the bus, you'll hear stories and learn about the history of beer. Plus, you'll get some music from the Radio Memphis Library. Go to memphisbrewbus.com and find them on Facebook. The Memphis Brew Bus. We'll drive you to drink.
Right, so there we go. I was having a conversation with some friends. We were talking about bands, known bands, bands that have been around a long time, and of course because I was in the room and the conversation had begun, instigated, if you will. We were discussing how, you know, like. Big bands like let's use one. I'm gonna name some names. It started with the mention of the band Foreigner. Remember them? They had a string of hits in the 70s. Had a few albums out that were out there. They did pretty well. Lou Gramm was their singer. Had a song called Double Vision, which is kind of prophetic because he wound up having a brain problem and he actually had double vision. Had nothing to do with the fact that the band Foreigner right now, for as far as I know. The guys that started it are no longer in it. There's no original member, but they're still out there doing their thing. And what has happened now is that these bands have become sort of a tribute to themselves in a weird sort of way. They become a cover act because those guys on stage that are performing are not the ones who wrote the music. And we see this a lot in classic rock. Lynyrd Skynyrd, it's another one. They're still out on the road. There ain't nobody left. Of course, it came up in the conversation that they thought Lynyrd Skynyrd was pretty much done at the plane crash. I think there's some truth to that, to be honest with you. The Bar K's come to mind. That's another one. The Bar K's, Stax legends as they were, also involved in a horrific plane crash. But the band was reformed and kept going under the name The Bar K's. And hell, there's been 500 people that have played in that band. My very good friend Willie Hall, my brother from another mother, he was in that band for a while. I know a bunch of guys that were in that band. But that's it's an interesting phenomenon when you look at this. Kansas is another one, I think. I don't think it's the some of the couple of the core guys may still be in there. It's odd because they're able to sell tickets to fans who remember the music. REO Speedwagon. They will line up and buy these tickets. Now, they're not selling out the big arenas like they used to. They don't need to. But they're out there playing the picnic circuit, you know, the shows in the gardens. Just about every botanic garden in any major city has these shows where they trot out these old acts and away they go. And they sell tickets to them. People go nuts. They like to see them. They haven't put anything new out since the 70s, but it doesn't stop them because they're selling tickets and they're putting on a show and they're making some money. But it's odd because when you go to see these bands, you don't think about the fact that Dennis DeYoung doesn't sing for Styx anymore, but you go to the show and they're playing the songs that everybody knows and you're singing along and you're having a time. And when you get in the car and you're leaving, you're going home and you're telling your, you know, whoever your friends are with or in the car with you or your date, man, I love that band. That was great, man. It's been a while since I heard those songs. That's the nostalgia factor that comes up. And audiences, whether they know it or not, or even though they're not buying the original band, they don't really seem to care because they're there for the show. I know I'm probably going to get some criticisms over this, but one of the most overrated bands, I think, ever, and certainly one of the biggest, I don't know if fraud's too hard of a word, Kiss. Let's talk about it. Gene Simmons, Paul Stanley. They have made their career off of average rock and roll at best. And they will tell you, we were just a bunch of Jewish kids from Brooklyn that didn't know how to play, except we could go really loud and wear funny makeup and give people a show, and we would sell out rooms. And they did. And they did it to excess. You know, the albums themselves, that's not the band playing. That's not, Gene's not on those records. He's singing on them maybe, but he ain't playing bass on them. Same with Paul Stanley. You know, he's singing in there, but he ain't necessarily playing guitar. That's what they have session guys for. And they sell a lot of records. That's fine. They did. They sold a ton of records. Well, one thing that Kiss was notorious for, and they were well known for, was to keep their shows somewhat affordable so they could sell out big rooms. They'd make more money that way. They lower the price point so they could sell. They could make money. Well, there was an article that had come out last week about this, first week of July, about Gene Simmons, and he's now defending the high cost of tickets. I don't know if you've been to a show here of late, but it ain't cheap. To go see a big act, it ain't cheap. And Gene is defending this, saying that these bands are big business. Now, he says this now because Kiss is on the road to retirement. I don't know how long that's going to last. But they're doing the big farewell tour until they get bored and they decide to go back out again. And they'll sell tickets. They'll sell tickets each and every time. And it's not new. That's the interesting thing about this whole discussion, is this phenomena is not new. Back in the 40s, in the 1940s, there was a big movement in music that was sort of the bridge between contemporary music of the day and rock and roll, and that was swing. It was jazz, and it was this fun, upbeat swing music with these big bands, right? You if you don't know what I'm talking about, I highly recommend you look it up, because there's some really, really interesting music from those days and a lot of fun. The theme music that's done for this show is a big band. It's Pershing's own the U.S. Army band is who does that. And I've always been drawn to that music. I love it. I think it's great fun, and it is certainly a peek into the what, you know, became sort of the early DNA of rock and roll. And Glenn Miller was one of the more famous ones of the day. Glenn, of course, you know, when the war broke out, he was out doing USO tours. He was entertaining the troops. They did these radio shows that were broadcast worldwide. He was sort of, I guess he was, there was sort of like a, the Elvis Presley of his day, really. I mean, he was just a kind of a shy, quiet guy. He was a trombone player. Didn't sing. You know, he brought different vocalists out to come sing. He had a big band. I mean, he had, you know, probably 15 to 18 people up on that stage, man. He had a big horn section. He had a great rhythm section. These guys could play, man. It was big. And then during the war, Glenn Miller is killed in an accident. He was off to go play a show somewhere in Europe, and the plane was either shot down or it went down or something had happened. And he was the only member of the band that was on that particular flight. There may have been like one of his handlers or something like that, but the rest of the band was already in the location where they were supposed to play that night. And you would think that would have been the end of the band. Fast forward to 2019, the Glenn Miller Orchestra still plays. Not an original member of that act, but I will tell you something. The Glenn Miller Orchestra still sells tickets because of the nostalgia factor of it. It's all those acts that back in those days, it was such a big part of everybody's life, because that music there for a while was really, as I mentioned, that not just the genesis of rock and roll, but it was certainly a good look at how the live music industry was to really shape up. Because bands like the Glenn Miller Orchestra, or the Harry James Orchestra, or the Benny Goodman Orchestra, you pick one, they would play a room and people would pay money to go in there and see that band perform. And if you were lucky, you were in the right type of place. It was like one of those, like the Copa, you know, it had like dinner tables around the sides, it had a big dance floor. And you went and you saw a 2-hour show with this orchestra that was very famous and got you a dinner, and you got to go dancing with you, with whoever brought you, and you had a time. It was, of course, the senior citizens. They loved this stuff because that's what it was. And then along came rock and roll in the 50s, which uses that platform from what happened in the big swing time to keep going. Well, and not to be outdone by what the swing guys did in the 40s, those bands kept going because, as I mentioned, Styx, Lynyrd Skynyrd, all of those guys. There's not an original member in those bands anymore. And, you know, I'm sure there's somebody angrily dashing off an email talking about so-and-so's brother, or there was a roadie that's always been with him. And, you know, look, the bottom line is that they take that name and it's worth something. So they capitalize on that. And they send it along the way. They send it on down. They pass it down. It's a company, really. It's not a band anymore. It's a company. And musicians today understand that, and they have to work like that. If you're a musician and you're listening to this, then you know the phrase, especially if you've been listening to Diana. Your band is your brand, and your brand is your business. Therefore, your band is your business. It's a company. You work for Boston Incorporated, if you want to. And you get lucky to wind up in the band, and away you go. You know, the Rolling Stones, is an exception to this. And I think there's a few bands that are out there that are exceptions because, A, you got all the original members, or most of them, right? And they haven't really been replaced, per se, with some pomp. They're still known acts, and they still record. That's the difference. They're still putting out new material. The Rolling Stones does that. They still put out new material from time to time. Not as prolifically as they used to, but they still do it. You know, they've changed. When Bill Wyman quit the Stones, they got another bass player, but they don't put him out there as, you know, as a Rolling Stone. He's just the bass player for the Rolling Stones. I mean, if you think about it, the Stones are four guys. You know, you got Ron Wood, Mick Jagger, Keith Richards, and what's his nuts? The drummer, whose name completely just escaped me. Watts. Who has a jazz orchestra himself, by the way. And they're they're still going. They're still doing their thing. And there's nothing wrong with that. The Who is another one. Half the band is dead, but they still put out the occasional new stuff. It's kind of rare now these days. And they come out and they still play. They can't do exactly what they used to do back in the day, but they still do. They still do something. They give an audience something to see because it's The Who. You know, it's you know, it's Daltrey. It's Townsend. They're still around. I mean, I guess a case could be made that you could put Paul McCartney and Ringo Starr on stage together and you could have, quote-unquote, the Beatles, but it wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't work. It'd be impossible. George Carlin once said it was the wrong two Beatles that died. It's a horrible joke. But that was part of why that would be. And that's never going to happen, you know. And when you look at some of these acts that, you know, they, like I said, they're playing the county fair circuit, you know, they're playing the garden tours, you know, they're cruise ships. That's another one. Oh, Lord have mercy. Take a cruise with, I don't know, pick one, Styx. If you could stomach it that long, you can still do your thing. And part of you sits there as a music person, as a fan or critic even, and you sit there and you go, God, maybe they should just hang this up. But there's another quiet reality to this, and it's simply this, that a lot of times these bands, they do this, they continue to play because they don't have any other options. They have to do it. They may have gotten screwed over by a label. That may be a thing. They may be in debt. You don't know. You'd like to think that wasn't the case, but, you know, such as it is. Here's an interesting band to think about, AC/DC, who's gone through, so far, two lead singers, or a third if you want to count Axl Rose in that complete disaster. Malcolm Young, that was his band. He ran that band. He was the leader of that band. Angus, his brother, the lead guitar, the one that's dressed as a schoolboy, that's all he was. He was a lead guitar player. Malcolm dies, and the band is kind of done. They've kind of quit. Now, Angus is thinking maybe he should keep the band together, but at what point? Unless you bring Brian Johnson back in there, I don't know if he's not going to do anybody any favors. And they had their drummer was accused of, like, attempted murder or something, hiring a hitman to bump somebody off, and he got caught with meth, and he's like, I don't know, he's in jail somewhere. Which I go, well, you can get another drummer, you can get another bass player, you can get another rhythm guitarist. Yeah, you could. There is a mental puzzle that is used to illustrate a point. I think it works here. Let's say you have a boat, a wooden boat, and over time you replace bits of wood in that boat. You know, they get old, they get rotten. You just replace it. And let's say you've named that boat. You call it something. You know, the Penis Colossus. And after so many years, you will have replaced just about every piece of wood on the boat, probably. In fact, you may have replaced every single piece of wood on that boat. Does that boat still maintain its identity? Or is it a different boat? It's a mental exercise, really, because there's no real, I think, right or wrong answer to that. Because the question remains there, if I replace all of that wood, therefore, it's not the original. It's the same thing with a band. If I replace every member of the band and keep the name, is it still that band? I don't know. Let me tell you, there's a lot of tribute and cover acts out there that play this stuff just as good as some of the original bands that wrote it. You may not do it exactly, but they do. They do a good job. You go to, you know, any bar on a Friday night that's got some, you know, hacky cover act in there, and they're just like a jukebox, and they're just in there. They're playing everything from Skinner to Rush to whatever. And they're playing the fan favorites, and everybody goes nuts. But it's not them. if the band on that stage is playing Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, that's not Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers that are up there. But there again, you didn't pay $300 to go see that act either. You paid $5 to go in and have some, you know, flat beer and some, you know, moderately decent food, but you're out there to have some fun because you like that music. And there's an interesting problem with this, because musicians that work in cover bands, they're pretty good to tell you fairly quickly that they do it because it pays, and it does. It pays very well. It pays a good bit to be in a cover act. That's how a lot of these guys, you know, if they're not going to hold down a desk job, then they might as well go out and, you know, learn some tunes and put a band together and go out and have some fun. Does every one of them secretly have passions to write their own material and become, you know, a hit rock star? Yeah, I think so. They may keep that relatively to themselves, but I mean, I've known bands that are cover acts that go out and they play these shows and they do very well. They'll play 5-6 nights a week. They're doing great. They're making some money, having a big time. And I know of one that has original material that they don't play, which is kind of sad. They don't play it at those shows, but they should. And they've kind of given up on it because it's a harder road. They'd rather play everybody else's original material for that. And then now all of a sudden you're a cover act, and I don't know. It's not the Ripper Owens story is not going to be repeated. You know about that, right? You know, Judas Priest, Rob Halford leaves the band. The band decides to keep going. Rob Halford, the lead singer. And they find a Judas Priest tribute act. And there's a kid singing all the Halford stuff just like Halford. And it's Ripper Owens. So now Ripper is now fronting the real Judas Priest band. He does it for a while. Rob Halford decides to come back. Ripper steps aside and says, "It's your band, man. I just had fun." Hell, Ripper was on several records and just had a big time. His dream came true for a bit. Those things are incredibly rare and do not happen. So, you know, I don't know. It's an interesting thought about, you know, how the music business can be sometimes. You wonder, those old, tired, classic rock acts that go around and still trying to hold it together, you wonder just how, is it worth doing? Let me tell you something, and I'll end it on this. Huey Lewis and the News, to me, is one of the best bands that had ever been around. I mean, in the 80s, they had a string of hits. The Sports album, of course, was a monster. It was a great band. It was all the original guys. They're the first to tell you that they didn't shoot for the stars. It just happened. Huey even said, you know, even if we didn't make it big, the only thing I'd ever really wanted to do was just play harmonica in a pretty decent band. And he did. Now Huey's got some health issues, and he's not playing in the band. The band's not doing anything either. They're not out there. It's not the News anymore. You know, we hope Huey can come back and come back and play. Who knows? Maybe he will, maybe he won't. He's got some hearing issues, which comes with this industry. So, I don't know. A little food for thought there, huh? A little something to think about. The boat thing. Yeah. Think about that for a minute, won't you?
It's summertime, and Wizards has all your outdoor fun covered. Memphis' number one alternative smoke and vape shop is your CBD headquarters, but they're not just a CBD or smoke shop. Novelty t-shirts, hats, sunglasses, and more. New stuff in the store every day. Woodwick candles, silver jewelry, tapestries and candles, and really cool backflow incense burners. Great deals throughout the store. $19.99 Madison Avenue, open 10 to 10, 7 days a week. Online at memphiswizards.com. Wizards, because it's still smoking. Must be 18 or older to buy smoking-related material.
Here's what's coming up on the next episode from Radioland with Rick Cheddar.
Boy, howdy, the news cycle sure gets exhausting, doesn't it? I mean, I know we're in a 24-hour cycle. Everything happens. And it happens, and it comes around, and it goes around, and people chew on it. People do this. They dice it, and they slice it, and they analyze it, and they pick it apart. And it happens so quickly that if you blink, you miss out on something. And when you miss out on some small detail, then those stories tend to kind of, I don't know, take a life of their own. And then all of the, I don't know, all of the nuts come in, especially when you're talking politics, because political news, being what it is very divisive. It really is. It's hard to sit there, especially now, it's hard to sit there and tell a fact without somebody turning around and going, "No, you got it wrong."
that you're a loser. Not to quote the president, but he does say that a lot. And the whole thing with fake news, oh, for Christ's sakes, stop it.
For previous episodes, go to radio-memphis.com. To download episodes to your mobile device, search the show in iTunes, player.fm, stitcher.com, Pocket Cast, or TuneIn. And now, here's more with Rick Cheddar from Radioland.
Right, you heard what's coming up next time on the program. Here on the 7th day of July, it is a Sunday. Coming up tonight at 8 p.m. Central Time, depending, hopefully you'll have heard this show before then. By 8 p.m. Central Time at radio-memphis.com. It's the Booze and Blues Show. It's the only award-winning blues show on the air from Memphis, Tennessee. How about that? We can actually say that. It's going to be big fun. Tonight, in the studio, live music. We're looking forward to this. This is a show that Mark Caldwell, our producer, he told me just yesterday, this show has been 3 years in the making. It's incredible to think like that, but this particular show, this episode tonight, has been 3 years in the making. The reason being, we have an artist that's new to us, but she's been around for a little while. Her name is Tully Bray, T-U-L-L-I-E, Bray, B-R-A-E, Tully Bray. Tully's got a brand new record called Revelation. We're going to play some cuts off of that later on tonight on the program, and she's going to be performing live in the studio, which is going to be a lot of fun. Well, I got a message from our old friend Mick Colossa, who's also he's another blues guy from down in the Delta. She grew up in the Delta, Tully did. And Mick has known her for quite some time. And Mick said, you're going to love her. She's wonderful. He goes, I love her to death. She's an absolute delight. She's a real sweetheart. She's a lot of fun. And she's going to be on your show. And he goes, I wished I could be there, but he's out on the road. He's out doing something on the Chitlin Circuit or wherever it is that he is. And he's going to be unable to attend the studio, but he said he might be able to listen in a little bit later on. And plus, it'll be in our on-demand once we get caught up with all that, and that's a whole other story. But before I get out of here on this program here on what you're listening to here from Radioland, I wanted to give you a little taste of some of her music from the brand-new record, Revelation. Let's play a tune. We're going to play Mississippi Rain. Here she is, Tully Bray, right here from Radioland.
I still feel a Mississippi rain. I'm here in Memphis, but I still feel a Mississippi rain. I should have known better. Oh, yes, I should have known than to ever have you as my maid. I should have known better than to ever have you as my maid. Oh, but my heart just wouldn't listen, and now you hold it, oh, you hold it in your hand. Yes, you do. That storm the day I loved the way you used to love me until our stormy days, and I can't forget those good times. Oh, and it brings me so much. Hey. I tried to forget those good times. Yeah, and it brings me so much pain. And even though I'm right here in Memphis, I still feel. Mississippi rain. Forget you, but all I see is your face. Oh, and even though I'm right here in Memphis, baby, I still feel. Oh, and even though I'm right here in Memphis, oh, I still feel. Even though I'm right here in Memphis. The Mississippi rain.
And there you go. That's Tully Bray from her brand new record, Revelation. Mississippi Rain. She'll be live in studio with us this evening for the Booze and Blues. That is at 8 p.m. Central Time at radio-memphis.com. Join the fun. It goes till at least 11 o'clock tonight. So come in and have some fun with us. And we'll just turn the studio into a juke joint. You can sit at home and listen to this on your, on any device. And that's the way it works. On any device. You don't have to have an app. You don't have to have any. Just go to radio-memphis.com and away you go. If you happen to have the TuneIn app, you can find us there as well. Just search for Radio Memphis, wherever it is that you search for your shows and stuff like that, and you can find it. It's big fun. So there you go. That's tonight, 8 p.m. You've heard what's coming up next time. I've already gone through all of that. I'm done. I got to go. I got to head over to the studio. Y'all be sweet. Take care of yourselves. Take care of one another. For God's sake, stop shooting each other, okay? I'm Rick Cheddar, and this has been from Radioland.
Rick Cheddar from Radioland is produced by Pirate Radio Studios Incorporated, Memphis, Tennessee. All music performed during this episode was used by permission. No part of this program can be rebroadcast or used in any other way except by written consent. For bookings and other inquiries, you can write the show by sending an email to radioland@pirateradiostudios.com. For more, go to radio-memphis.com.